with this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51. I'll be in two places this morning, about 1,000 different places, but two that you'll be able to turn to. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and chapter 16, and then this text that we have, Luke 9, 51. Let me read it to you. And it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, meaning to receive, go back to heaven, that he did something, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you for this new year before us, 2015. What an exciting year we have, Lord. And this morning, somehow, some way, as you always do, I pray that you open my heart and the heart of all your people, those that are in the overflow area here in the chapel, those that are tuning in live, whatever, oh God, that their heart is open, that we're not thinking about the Cowboy and the Packer game or any of that this morning. Lord, oh, hallelujah, yes, right. But Lord, we're thinking about you and about this word for Calvary Chapel that you've given unto me to give unto them. We pray for those that have been ill in our body. The Lord, you just continue to strengthen them and touch them. And Lord, on this introduction, this sermon is an introduction, Lord. Help me and let me hold nothing back. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. You know, this morning, let me read a story to you as we begin. It says it was Friday evening, January the 2nd, and a small Piper plane departed from the Tallahassee Regional Airport there in Florida and was bound for Mount Vernon, Illinois. The plane reported engine trouble and lost contact with the air traffic controllers shortly before 5:55 p.m. Moments later, the plane crashed in Kentucky, killing everyone on board except a little 7-year-old girl named Sailor Gutzler. The plane was upside down in a dark wooded area, and Sailor crawled out of the plane where her parents, Marty, and her mom, Kimberly, and her sister, Piper, and her cousin, Sierra, lay dead. Sailor wore only a short-sleeved shirt and shorts and no shoes as she walked through the woods, and thick briar patches and near freezing temperatures. Her father, a pilot since age 15, had taught Sailor her survival skills if ever she was involved in a plane crash. And there in the blackness, she lit a branch from the burning wing of the airplane. And after about a mile, a distant light captured her attention. She walked on through thick brush and a hill and then crossed over a creek bed and knocked on the door of a house. When the person came to the door, he said this to the reporters. I come to the door and there's a little girl. She's 7 years of age. She has a bloody nose. Her arms are bloody. Her legs are bloody. Her wrist is broken. One sock, no shoes. She's crying. She told me that her mom and dad were dead and that she had been in a plane crash and the plane was upside down. She literally fell out of the sky into a dark hole and didn't have anybody but her own determination, her own will to live and to get help for her family. He said, absolutely amazing. This morning, as we go forth with the word that God has given to us, I want to ask you a very sincere question. What did this little 7-year-old girl named Sailor have? You know what she did? She followed her father's instructions. Amen? Said, if you are ever in a plane crash, and it's at nighttime, here, find a branch, find a stick, wrap something, light it, and find your way out of here. And if there's ever been a year, beginning right now, that this church, because this is a word to Calvary Fort Worth, is that we need to follow our father's instructions. Amen? I mean, that is a must for us. But she had something that is so lacking today in the 21st century church. I say this not as a criticism. I say it only as a truth. You know it and I know it, is that this church, the 21st century American Christian church, who's not really growing. We grow by transfer growth today instead of people coming to Christ because Christianity is declining in our nation. She had something. She had determination. She was determined to do what her father taught her to do. She was determined to do that. You know what the definition of being determined is? It's this: having made a firm decision and being resolved to not allow anyone or anything to stop you. That's a good word, isn't it? And that's what we need this year. You see, what Calvary Chapel Fort Worth does for Jesus in your families or whatever in 2015, who's it going to be determined by? It's going to be determined by you. And you need to have that determination, for it is a must in 2015. It's not only going to be unique to each of us, the circumstances, the trials, the testings, the things that all of us, the warfare that each of us, if you're a believer, will face in 2015 is unique to you. But it's also unique to the church called Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. And we must stand together, all of us, because we're going to face things. And we need to have a heart that is filled with determination. See, if you're not determined, in other words, if you haven't made the decision to not allow anyone or anything to stop you in your walk this year, you're going to fail. And you say, now, Bill, no, I don't necessarily agree with that. Well, let me tell you why you will fail if you're not determined. It's because you have someone that is against you, someone who hates you, someone who will do anything to stop you in your tracks. Who is he? The devil. The devil is determined. Amen? The world is determined. Your flesh, my flesh, is determined to defeat us. That's why we have to be a determined people. Let me ask you a question. Why was it, as we've been studying the Old Testament there in the book of Joshua, why was it that the children of Israel, they did not drive out all of the Canaanites from the land, even though they had the promises of God, even though God was with them, even though he told, don't be discouraged, I will fight for you, I am with you. Why didn't they drive out all the Canaanites from the land? You know why? Joshua 17:12 tells us. It says the Canaanites were what? Determined. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Canaanites were determined to stay in the land. And guess what? Israel was not determined to drive them out. And if you're not determined to shut the door on the devil, if you're not determined this year to say, you know what? Enough is enough. You're going to fail. You say, well, Bill, I don't like that word. Well, listen, I know that many of you, all of us, you know, New Year's comes and we make all these New Year's resolutions and so forth. And, you know, you say, you know, boy, Bill, this year I'm going to be a person of prayer. Well, that shouldn't be a New Year's resolution. That should be obedience unto the Lord. Amen. But many of you, and I'm not faulting you, I love you, but I'm just telling you, you've said, I am going to finally have a quiet time. I'm going to have a prayer time. I'm going to do what God says. And I'm making it a I might even step out and do the impossible, like tithing. Or it might even be better than that. I might even serve in that place in the back, the most fearsome, terrifying place called the nursery. And some of you have said, you know what? And you should do all those things. And then some of you have said, you know what? This year, I am going to be a student of the Word of God. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think by just, and I'm going to be kind of mean this morning, okay? Is that all right? Yes. It's kind of like a two Sudafed moment, okay? They kind of make you aggressive. You can breathe, but you just want to get everybody. Do you think by just, okay, I've read three chapters this morning, I get a little star, I've done my duty, you're a student of the Word? No. No, listen. You know what it takes to study God's Word for a disciple? Matter of fact, if you weren't here last Sunday, you should definitely pick up last Sunday's message because it goes along with this. Listen, you know what it takes to study the Bible? You have to be determined. The Bible tells us, listen, in Proverbs 2:4, it says, if you seek her, meaning God's word, God's wisdom, if you seek her, open your Bible, and you seek it as silver. If you search for her as hidden treasure, that means you dig and you mine and you're digging into the word of God. Listen to the promise. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And I love this part. And then you will find the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God then applied is called the wisdom of God. Do you understand? And I look and I say, oh Lord, you see, to search and to seek requires determination. You have to be determined to do it. Sir, as silver, it said, as great treasure. You know, people leave their homes every day on every continent on this planet, and leave their wives, their children, their loved ones, and what did they do? They set out to explore. They said, man, I'm going to get rich here, get richer, oh, for the treasures in the earth. And they will even die doing it. Loved one, listen to me. If you allow dust to gather on your Bible in 2015, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You don't do that. Listen, 2015 is not a year for laziness, and it's not a year for lazy Christians. John C. Maxwell said this. He said, the secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. Only a foolish individual would be prayerless and studyless in 2015. Now listen, you can. Right now, agree in your heart and say, every day I'm going to begin it with determination. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what's happening in my life, God calls this church and every Christian to be a determined people. God says, don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at your checkbook. You know, isn't that terrible? You let a checkbook fill your heart. It's empty. Well, so what? God's not empty. Don't let a checkbook, you know, don't look at it. Don't say, oh, here's a calendar and I only have this many weeks to do. No, don't look at that. Don't look at your marriage or whatever it is or your children that seem to be falling apart. Don't look at that. Here's what you do. I must be determined to look only to God, because everything we need and have comes from above. Amen. He knows what we ask. He knows what we need even before we ask him. And he says, listen. Determination says this. It says, I have made a firm decision not to allow anyone, anything, any circumstance to stop me, because I have the promises of God and God cannot lie. Amen. Oh, church, listen, this is a very important time. Remember what Paul said there when he was going to Rome. And the prophets had come up, Agabus and the rest of them, and said, oh, Paul, listen, you know, and they brought little robes. They said, you're going to go bound in from Jerusalem. You're going to go bound, and there's all kind of tribulation. It's going to be waiting for you. And you remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders there in Acts 20:22? Let me read it to you. He says, oh, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that he went to, a prophet would come up to him. And say, in every city, Paul, that chains and tribulations, they await you. Now listen to what Paul says. He says, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul, I love him. None of these things move me. You know what Paul just said? He said, I will not allow anyone, any prophecy, anything, no matter what it is, to stop me. Even if it costs me my very life. Listen, would you say that Paul was determined? Determined. You see, if you study out Paul's life, you know what I love about Paul? He never dropped out of the race. He never complained. He never compromised. He never surrendered. He never retreated. Why? He was determined. He would not allow anything or anyone to stop him from fulfilling God's call on his life. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:2, it says this. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. You know, I start looking at all of that and I start thinking about what God has called us to, each and every one of you. Go study out the Bible. Look at all the men and the women there in the Word of God. Read the Hebrews 11, what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, and look at what they've done. Listen, this church today, we must do something, and we can do something. We must recapture the heart of the first century disciples, of the apostles, what was living in their heart. You know, if you study out just there in the book of Acts, there's three characteristics that are listed there, basically, and many more, but three that come to my mind about their hearts and so forth. First of all, you know, the truth invaded their lives. It invaded their lives. It ruled their lives. The truth of God's word. They were fearless. Amen. Now, and not only that, not only did the truth take over their entire lives and capture them, they loved someone passionately. Who was that? Jesus. They loved the Lord with all of their heart. They wanted him with all of their heart. And not only that, the third characteristic is they lived expectantly. There in the upper room, they were not only waiting for the mighty rushing wind, which they didn't even know that was going to occur, for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them, but they lived with the imminent return of Christ living in their hearts. Listen, I look at that and I say, oh God, these men and women, they were determined not to allow anyone or anything stop them from fulfilling the call of God on their lives. They believed in the promises of God. And you know what they did? They changed the world. They really did change the world. And I say, oh God, listen to Jesus in Luke 12:20. Let me read to you. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And listen carefully. How distressed, he said, how distressed I am until it is accomplished. What was the baptism he was speaking of? Jesus was talking about this, that I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. The baptism, he was going to be immersed into the cross, in the agony, the horrible suffering of the cross. He was going to take my punishment. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus determined to do that? For the joy, it says in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. The joy set before him was you and me, the world. Listen to me now. Jesus was determined to die for you. He was determined to die and take our punishment and our shame and our guilt and to bear all of our consequences. He took our scourging. He took our beating. He took it for us. He was determined to do that. He wants to save every person. Amen. And I look at that and I say, oh God. Listen to it now in 9:51 of Luke, where he says, and it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, go to heaven. Look at these words now. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He looked straight ahead. Those words, set fast and his face and steadfastly rather. The word steadfastly in the Greek means to, be fixed. It means to establish a look permanently, never looking back, looking straight ahead for what you're facing. And the word his face there, the NIV translates it, his face resolutely. And the New American Standard Version says determined. Would you say that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior, is the most determined person, individual in all of the universe? Listen, do you know how determined he is this morning? He's so determined about you that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen. He's determined to keep his hand upon you. He's determined never to relax the hold that he possesses upon you. Jesus is the absolute determined person. And when it was time for him to fulfill God's divine plan, it called for something. It called for divine determination. Say that with me. Divine interpretation. Amen. Now listen. Some of you are saying, but Bill, that was Jesus. Okay, that's right. It was Jesus. Still is Jesus. Well, you know, that's God. I mean, he's fully divine. He's determined. Yes. You know, May I read some scriptures to you? Will you just bear with me? And I'm going to ask you a question. Are these scriptures, ask yourself as I read them, are they true? It says, are we commanded to follow our Lord? Is that an option? Okay. We're commanded to follow our Lord. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, here are the conditions. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. And then he said, follow me. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me and I will do something for you. I will make you. You don't have to do it. I'll make you fishers of men. So we know we're commanded to follow him. That's not an option or suggestion. That's the true living word of God. Amen. Now, are we to follow Jesus's example? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. He took our place. Listen carefully. Leaving us an example. Leaving us an example. The word example there is used only there in the entire New Testament. When I was in school, like in the first grade, yes, there was first grade, wasn't it? I had what was called a Big Chief notebook. It was red cover with an Indian on the front. Y'all, the feathers and all that. Some of you may remember that. And you would open it up and there was A's and B's and there was, you know, all the letters and so forth. And remember, you would take a pencil and you would what? Trace. There you go. You would trace over those letters so you would learn how to write. Amen? Okay, that's what that word means there. The word example means to trace. What are we tracing? Here it is. It says, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. In other words, there we are. Lord, I see your steps. I'm tracing them out. I'm following you. Amen. See, he left it as an example. We're to walk like he walked. We're to act like he acted. We're to react like he reacts. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's determined. He's the determined one. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, he is our divine example. That means to trace his steps means then that we're called upon to imitate him. Is that true? Okay, Ephesians 5:1. It says, therefore, meaning therefore because God sent his only son to die for our sins. And now that we're born again, therefore, it says, imitate God, comma, as dear children, you're the sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted. Amen. So I look at that and I say, whoa, Lord, we're to imitate you. We're to imitate you because we can. Because we can. And the reason that we can is because we have another scripture where God has done something for us. You see, we have a promise here about his nature in 2 Peter 1:3. Let me read it to you. So we can imitate God. The reason is because as his divine power has given unto us, it's a fact, it's a gift, given unto us all things. Say that with me. All things that pertain to life, internal, and godliness, external, our walk. And he goes on and he says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, you are partakers of the divine nature. Bold words, huge words. You are partakers of his divine nature. I'm going to ask you a question now. Do you believe included in those two words, all things? Do you believe that maybe, just maybe, might be determination? Without a shadow of a doubt. You see, we're partakers of the divine nature. Is God determined? He is the determined one. You see, I look at that and I say, oh God, why are we failing? Why are we letting things consume our life? Why are we letting things in the church take us by like a strong man and put us in prison and so forth? Why all the hell that's going on? And the truth is because we've lost our determination. We're not really a determined people. We're determined to gossip. We're determined to lie. We're determined to sin. But are we determined to live like Jesus and be like Jesus? I look and I say, oh Lord, You're determined. You know how determined God is? God is so determined that He, if you are a believer and Jesus truly lives in your heart, God is determined to conform you into the image of His Son. That's how determined God is. He can't lie. He'll not relent. He'll not relax His hold at all. It says in Philippians 1:6, you know the scripture by heart, being confident, it says, of this very thing. What thing, Paul? Here it is. That He, meaning God, who has begun a good work in us, a good work. We are a good work, loved one, in us. Listen to what he says. We'll complete it until the day of Christ. That's a promise from God if you're born from above. The Bible tells us that we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we're being transformed from glory to glory to the same image of the Lord by the Holy Spirit which has been given unto us. That means something. I'm talking about determination. It means that God is working in us. Amen? Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Here it is. Work out, not work for, work out your own salvation. That means it's a personal gift. It's free. Salvation is a gift. Amen. Work out, not work for, your own salvation. How? In fear, in trembling. Why, Paul? Here it is. For it is God. It is God. Who works in you. You know what? I don't know that the church believes that anymore. He, God, the Father of all, He is working in our lives. Amen? I look at that, and why is He working? It says, He tells us, He says, for it to will and to do His good pleasure. Listen to the Phillips translation of that. For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the determination and the power to achieve His purpose. Not your purpose, His purpose. You know, the word work out is like, it's like a mathematical in the Greek there. It means to work out a problem or addition, subtract, whatever it is, work out a mathematical problem to its conclusion. Carry us all the way out to the last decimal, if you will. When Paul penned this, that word work out was used for working a mine to get out all, the ore or the gold, whatever, every ounce of valuable, get it all out of there. Or working a field where you'd get the greatest harvest, the greatest resources. Take it all. Listen, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, Jesus, you're not only the determined one, but your divine determination. And I say, how wonderful to know that. You know, just a few more scriptures, would you bear with me? How about this one? 1 John 2:6. He who says, if you're saying this, if you say you're a believer, he who says that he abides, he lives in, he draws strength from Jesus. Here it is. Ought himself to walk just as he walked. Do you believe that scripture is true? Do you believe that's even possible? God says it is. Now listen. Was Jesus determined? Yes. Divine determination. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, if there's ever been a moment, church, if there has ever been a moment that this church needs to steadfastly set their face with the determined, lowly heart of Christ, it is today. And if we do that, we can accomplish anything for the Lord. Amen? You know, I want to tell you, on January the 1st, that was New Year's Day, of course, about, I don't know, it was my workout time early in the morning. It was too cold to go outside. And I got on the treadmill at the house and was working out. And I don't like treadmills, but it was there, thank God. And, you know, and I was singing to the Lord. I was singing, I will live for you. I will live for you. I will live for you. And the reason I was singing over and over this, because I was so discouraged. I was discouraged. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the honest God truth. You know, I can get discouraged just like you, that I fight the battles just like you fight. Amen. And I said, Lord, I have to have something. I wasn't even asking for a word. I didn't think I was going to get a word, to be honest with you. And I just said, I have to have something. I have to have it, Lord. I have to have it or I cannot continue. And he said, Bill, you have it. And I'm on the treadmill. Hello. Singing to the Lord. Hello. I'm in my workout clothes. And he says, you have it. And I said, what do I have? He said, be determined. You have divine determination. I tell you that I exploded in my heart, and everything that had been hurting me, troubling me, confusing me, trying to stop me, trying to limit me, trying to overcome me, dissipated before my very eyes. And I said to myself, nothing, no one, not one thing will stop me because I have divine determination living in my heart. It wasn't something that came up here and go, oh, now, like an intelligent thing or a head knowledge. It was heart knowledge, the word exploding into my heart. And that's when I knew that that was the word for this year. And that is the word that each of us need more than ever because it's been lost in the church today. It says in 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Thank God we're not going to face the great white throne judgment. Amen. But we're going to have boldness in the day of judgment. It tells us why. John the apostle says, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. John says, we don't ever, ever have to fear judgment day. You know why? Because our judgment is not future. Our judgment is past. 2,000 years ago, amen? Jesus took our judgment, our suffering, our sin. He took it on the cross. Now, it says in Romans 8:1, therefore now there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We're so closely identified with the Lord in this world that God looks at us in standing with him. You say, now, Bill, that's just too much. That is our position. Do you believe that we share the exalted position of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we sit with him in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. We are sharing his life. We're born from above. Amen. I look and I say, oh, Lord. And here's the problem. The church loves to rest in being saved, loves to rest in salvation. And who doesn't? But does it stop there? Listen carefully. It says, John says, as Jesus is, so are we. Where? In this world. Are y'all listening this morning? Amen. Okay, listen now. As Jesus is right now. Right now. He's seated at the right hand of God. As Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. We are the only generation that this generation is going to see is Jesus, and that's us. Amen. They're not going to see anyone else. Listen, determination says, I've made a firm decision not to allow anything, anyone, any circumstance, no matter what it is, to stop me because I have the promises of God. And I'll tell you, it seems to me that the church is limping along. Christians are limping along. They don't believe the word of God anymore. They don't trust the word of God anymore. It says in Hebrews 12:12, it says, Paul writes to us and he says, oh, therefore strengthen or renew the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, don't be discouraged, Paul says. Be determined. He says, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame, what is crippled, may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. If you want to be discouraged in 2015, if you want to limp through this year, then all you have to do is just go down the wrong path. Go your own way. Rebel against God's word. That's all you have to do. But you know, if you want to go down the straight path, which means the right path, would you say that that's going to take determination? You better believe it is. It's going to take determination to do it. Let me read again that scripture in Luke 9:51. And now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up into heaven. Here he steadfastly set his face. He was resolute. He was determined to die for us. That's called divine determination. And some of you are saying, some of you that are listening live as well, you're going, Bill, listen, hey man, I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to make it through this world, okay? And this is Jesus. This is not me and so forth. Well, I'm going to have to ask all of us a question. Does Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, live in us? Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Whenever you go to the scripture and you find it where it says, you know, Christ in me, what does that mean? That means everything that Jesus is right now is in you. Do we have his power? Do we share his life? Do we have the love of God? Yes, Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. 1 John 5:4-5, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes the what? The world. Do you really believe that? You know what that's going to take? That's a fact. That's a true fact from the God who cannot lie. But if you're not determined in your heart, not with your own determination, but divine determination, because Jesus lives there, I can do this. Why? He's in there. He lives in me. Everything Jesus has, we have. His life, his purpose, his plans, his eternal life. We have his victory. And also, we have something else. We possess the divine determination of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. See, listen, the determined one, he lives in me. He lives in you. I never thought about that until God spoke that into my heart. I never even heard that in my life until the Lord spoke that to me on January the 1st. See, you say, well, Bill, I'm only a week old in the Lord. I'm a new believer. Well, you have the same thing I have. Do you understand? Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Listen, we all have the same life. We all have the same power. We have right now the same Spirit that birthed Jesus. Amen? The same one that empowered the Lord. The same one that led the Lord. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We have that. You say, Bill, are you sure? Yeah, God can't lie. It says in Romans 8:10, if Christ is in you. Oh, and he is. If he's in you, then what? Well, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen carefully. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you this huge word, life. Not just life now, the abundant life now in Christ, but also at the future resurrection and so forth. He says, we'll give you life in your mortal, through your mortal bodies, through his Spirit. And here it is again, who dwells in you. Please don't tell me in 2015. Please don't tell yourself that you can't be determined, because that is not true. That is not true. The determined one lives in you. The determined one, our Lord and Savior, that divine determination lives in his church. Amen? And his church is no longer determined. And that's what we need. Christianity is sharing the life of God. It's sharing the life of God. We have that divine determination right now. The life of the founder is in the life of the follower, or lives in the follower. You know, or you turn to John with me, John chapter 14, and look at verse 12. John 14, verse 12, listen to the apostle John now. This is Jesus speaking. Let me preface now. Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to go back to heaven. He says in verse 12, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. What a wonderful thing to hear. But watch this. And greater works than these he will do. Why? I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you, and say that word with me, another helper. The word another in the Greek means he will give you another me, another one just like me, another helper. Why? That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, knows him, but you know him. Why? For he dwells with you and shall be where? In you. I will not leave you fatherless. And please look at these next words. I will come to you. Jesus said, I'm going to come back, boys. When did that occur? It occurred at Pentecost, the birth of the church. Look over at John 16 with me, John 16, verse 5. Jesus says, but now I go away to him who sent me. He's going to go back to the Father. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things, you say to your, that sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now listen, if we lived 2,000 years ago, you know, and so forth with the Lord, can you imagine hearing those words? Lord, wait a minute. You're telling me that it's better that you leave, that you go back to heaven? Lord, we've been with you all of this time. We've seen you raise the dead, heal the leper, heal the blind. You fed the thousands. Oh God, we've given up everything to follow you. How is it even possible for it to be an advantage for you to leave us? I look at that and I say, oh God, an advantage. I look and I say to them, I say, you know what that means? If we lived 2,000 years ago and we walk with the Lord, if you wanted to be around the Spirit, even though the Spirit is everywhere, Holy Spirit, you'd have to find Jesus, wouldn't you? That's right. And see, Jesus was saying to them, you know, the reason that is to the advantage is because when the Holy Spirit was poured out and Jesus literally came to live in their hearts in that great way, in our hearts as well, that meant something. It means that now, Peter, you can be in Jerusalem. Thomas, you can head out, you know, over here and you can go down to Samaria and you can go to the other parts of the world. And that means that each of you, that Jesus lives in each of you. Amen. And that means that Jesus can go to Dallas. He might not go there. Jesus can go to Dallas. You know, Jesus can go to Fort Worth. Do you understand? He can go down to Watauga. I don't know why, but he might. You know, do you understand? It means that Jesus, wherever a believer is in the world, Jesus is there. What? He lives in our heart. The divine one, the one who has divine determination, he lives in our hearts. The religious rulers of the day, remember in Acts 4, wherever it is in there, and they were commanded them not to teach in the name of Jesus. And they went ahead and so forth, and they noticed all the things that they were doing. And it says, they're like Jesus. It's like all these people are like Jesus. He says in Acts 4:13, the religious rulers, they perceived in their heart that they had been with Jesus. What does that mean? It means that they were sharing his life. Why? Jesus said, I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you. I'm going to live in you now. I'm going to use you. I'm going to take your body. You're the body of Christ now. And I'm going to go into all the world with you. Amen. See, Jesus lives in you. That means that you possess right now, whether you believe it or not, you possess the divine determination of God. He lives in you. You have his determined, lowly heart. Determination says in 2015, I have resolved, I have determined, I have made a decision that from now on, I will not allow anyone, anything, any person to stop me. Why? I have the promises of God. whenever you share the life of the person, our Lord, that means you share his power, you share his divine determination. And you know what? Can they be separated? No, they can't be separated. They can't be separated at all because they come with the person. Jesus said, all of my resources are now yours. And wherever you are, I will be there with you. May God in heaven, who loves us and sent his only begotten son to die for us, may God forgive us if this church doesn't rise up on this promise from God and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll not allow anyone or anything to stop me from serving you. Is the scripture I'm going to read to you right now, ask yourself if it's true. Paul writing to the church at Rome, talking about all the peril that they were going through. He says in Romans 8:37, Paul says, yet in all these things, the tribulation, in other words, the distress, the persecution, the nakedness, the peril, the sword, the demons of the world attacking. He says in all those things, no matter what it is, he says, you are more than conquerors. Do you believe that word? Listen, I don't care what I am standing against. I stand right now, today, and forever in my life. I stand in the divine, determined one. I stand in the Lord. And that word, more than conquerors, means this. That is your eternal position if you're in Christ. That is my eternal position if I'm in Christ. I'm a winner. I am not a loser, no matter what I'm facing. And no matter what you face, you are more than a conqueror. And we must stand in Christ's divine determination. I cannot imagine why we wouldn't. When I think of Jesus, who was determined to save each of us, determined to go to the cross, knowing what he was going to suffer, knowing the things that were going to happen to him. Listen, we have the one that is so determined that he said, you know what? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's happening in your life, you let a tear fall from your eyes. I'm determined to catch it and I'll write it in my book. You let a hair fall from your head. I'm determined. I got it. But that's how precious you are to me. That's how much I want you. I'm building a place for you right now. I'm determined to come and get you, and I'm going to take you to be where I am, and you're going to be with me always. I'm determined, he says, that that's going to happen in your life. We're not the victim. We are the victor. And Jesus, listen, he was so determined. He defeated the devil for us. He defeated death, sin, consequences of sin, power of sin. Amen. He defeated all of it. Why? Because he's determined. He doesn't want anything to happen to you. He's determined to pour all of his love in your heart. And you know what? The church is no longer determined. God says you have divine determination living in you. Paul says, he cries out in Philippians 3:10, he says, may I know him. Can you believe Paul said that? He had known the Lord. The Lord personally taught Paul for 3 years there in Arabia. Personally, divine revelation. Paul says, that I may know you, Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what Paul was saying? He was saying, I'm determined to make Jesus Christ the number one priority in my life, every moment and every day. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, he said, man ought always to pray, never give up, always to pray and not faint. Don't be discouraged, but be determined. I'm standing in a priority this year, a priority that says I am determined to pray. I had a pastor tell me 30 some odd years ago, an old friend now. He said to me, Bill, go with the goers. I'm telling you that this church is going to go. Whether you want to go or not, that's going to be up to you. But I am only going with those that are determined to go. I can't be held back, can you? Do you want to be held back? No. You have to say, I'm determined. I'm going forward. I am moving forward no matter what it takes, because I'm going with the determined ones, because they have the divine determination of Christ living in their hearts. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph, one continual victory. I don't know how you feel this year, but I am determined to stand in Christ's divine determination. Wherever I'm going, wherever he's leading, wherever I'm standing, in an elevator, a department store, a grocery store, driving down 820, I don't care, wherever I am, Christ is leading me in one continuous victory. Always. I believe that with all of my heart. And some of you say, Bill, you don't understand. I'm going through hell right now. I'm just going through hell. Well, then you need to do what Winston Churchill said. He said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stay there. You've got to be determined to go through that. Amen. You've got to be a determined people. Listen, if Jesus lives in your heart, Christian, if don't treat 2015 like another year. Don't do that. If Jesus lives in you, you have his. You have his. You possess his divine determination, which says, I will not let anyone, any demon, any circumstance, any person, whatever it might be, absolutely nothing, stop me. You can't stop me. Nothing can stop me. I'm going to keep my face is set, and I am moving forward. Why? Because determination says that I will not allow anyone or anything to stop me, because I have the promises of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Amen? They're ours. And I say, oh God, may God forgive you. May God forgive us as we move forward in this year. And if we're not determined, if we're not determined, each and every one of us to say, no, you're not going to stop me. You're not going to limit me. You're not going to prevent me. I don't care what I'm thinking. No, it's not going to work. Nothing is going to stop me. May God forgive us if we don't, each of us, every person, that if you name this place as your, if you're connected and committed at Calvary, you say, it's my home church. May God forgive us if you don't say, I'm determined to serve and serve this body. We have two services. You're not going to miss a service. You step out and serve. Listen, the Bible is filled with ordinary people, just like you and just like me. And they made decisions to be determined. And you know what they did? Because they had divine determination, the determined one in their hearts, they changed their world. If there's ever been a time that the church needs to change our nation, I would say it's today. But there's so many selfish people, so many people that want to do their own thing, go their own way. There's not a place for that. There's only one way, and that's his way. There's not another way. 2015, listen, we're the Lord's body on earth. We need to be like our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, the one who is coming for us. I urge you and plead with you this year that you set your face steadfastly and you face 2015. You face it head on and know that you possess his divine determination. You can't do one thing, loved one, about 2014. It's gone, isn't it? You can't change 2014. Not one thing you said, not one thing you did. Thank God we can say, Lord, forgive us for 2014, and God does. But here, listen, we have divine determination. I don't know about you, but I will not. I stand right today. I don't know what I'm going to be facing, and I know it's not going to be pleasant. I already know that. But I know this. I will not be defeated in 2015, nor will I let anyone or anything defeat me, nor any circumstance. Amen? You have to claim that for yourself. You have to believe that for yourself. I am not, listen, in 2015, our fears, our anxieties, they're not going to rule us. Why? Because we are determined. We are determined. Say, no, God promised. He said, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. You don't, it's, God hasn't given it to you. But I'm afraid. Afraid of what? What are you afraid of? What's going to happen? Well, I might die. Okay, go to heaven. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of this life? Come on. No. I'm not going to let fear. Fear, you're not going to rule at Calvary Chapel in 2015 because you're not only defeated, but the only fear, matter of fact, the word fear is absent from my vocabulary. I'm not even going to put it there. The only word I'm going to use fear for is when I fear God. Amen. You don't let fear rule over. You don't have to. You're determined. Face fear head on. Face it. And say, get out of my way. You're defeated. God didn't give that to me. I have divine determination because Jesus lives in my heart. My marriage, our marriages are not going to fail in 2015. Amen? Husbands, get off the couch. Be a man. Grow up. Stop being a child. Put away childish things. And grow up. And love your wife and be determined to love her the right way. To bring healing to your family. Wives, you be determined to love and respect your husband the right way. I'm determined to do it. Well, what if he doesn't do it? Well, go with the goers. Two people can't walk together unless they're determined. Unless they're in agreement. But you know what? If your husband or your wife is not going to walk with you, then you be determined to walk with God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on in your life. Listen, in 2015, our addictions are broken. Do you understand? They are broken. They are gone. They are finished. God forbid that we would say, with the divine one living in us, the determined one living in us, who has given us power, who's given us all of his love, to say, well, I think that pornography is just bigger than Jesus. Even though I have the divine determination, I just can't turn off my computer. I can't throw it out the window. I can't get rid of that trash. That doesn't even compute. Amen? You say, Bill, you don't understand. It's an addiction. I don't care what it's called. I'll tell you that God is greater than any sin that has ever been committed. Oh, I can tell you're just wanting to go watch the Cowboy game. Your heart is not on this message this morning. You're just, you know, and you're watching at home. We're gonna kill the live feed right now. Some of you, the devil says, you know, you're going to go under in 2015. You're not going to make it. I'm telling you that you're not just going to go. You're going over. You're going to leap over a wall. Why? Because the divine one, divine determination lives in you. You have to say every morning, no matter how you feel about it, you have to say, he lives in me. He lives in our hearts. Be determined. You have to say every day in your heart, I'm going to face things, but I'm just like my Savior. I'm setting my face steadfastly. I'll not back down. I'll not give in. I have divine determination living in me. It's my possession. I'm sharing the life of my Lord. And nothing is going to stop me. From fulfilling God's calling. Lord, I pray for these people. We cannot be a mediocre church, Father. We can't be a church that pretends to love and it's not real. We can't do that anymore. The season for all that is now past. It won't work anymore. We're moving forward, Lord, with divine determination, which means things are going to change this year. And it may look like it may change, Lord, and we'll say things are falling apart. No, they're not falling apart. There'll be people that are leaving, people that are just going to, you know, fall by the wayside and not go on with the Lord. Lord, that's just part of it. But we are going to move forward because divine determination lives in our heart and we are going to walk in it. Father, I have a special request this morning. Only you can do this. That word, divine determination that you gave me, needs to be in the heart of your people, not in their mind, but in their heart. Lord, you are no respecter of persons. You promise that you love everyone equally. You care for everyone equally. What you did to me on January 1st, when you invaded my heart, when I was not determined, when I was so discouraged, when I was defeated because of my own self, I ask you right now, would you touch their heart like you touched mine? And may those words, divine determination, become a living, thriving reality in their hearts. I ask it, O God, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.